We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast as we get set for the Pac-12 conference opener. The Buffaloes and the Washington Huskies, the seventh-rated team in the country, a rematch of the Pac-12 title game from a year ago. Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Okay, the hype machine is in overdrive for this one, isn't it? I mean, yes, it's a rematch, but, you know, it's a year later, new teams, but, boy, there's a lot of excitement generating around this game.
Yeah, this is a great way to start the season. Obviously, neither team had control over the schedule, but when it came out last spring and you saw that Colorado and Washington were opening up the Pac-12 schedule against each other, rematch of the Pac-12 championship game, it certainly added just a little more juice to that schedule. And I think you've seen it this week in practice. This team, you and I have been out there. This team, I won't say it's a different team, but there's certainly a lot more energy and enthusiasm and excitement out on that field.
I'm not necessarily a conspiracy guy, but it is awful coincidental, isn't it, that the Pac-12 has set this matchup up?
Yeah, I'm sure that they it was all drawn out of a hat, and that's just the way it happened to turn out. Saturday, first Saturday of the Pac-12 schedule, full Pac-12 schedule, that it's a rematch. But however it happened, I'm glad it happened, and I think it's a great time for Colorado. It's a great time for the Buffaloes. Opening the schedule early in the season, night game, national TV, all kinds of things at stake, and what a great opportunity for the Buffs.
Buffaloes coming off a 41-21 victory over Northern Colorado last week. It's one of those games, Neil, that I think from a fan perspective, there was a little bit of, let's say it left them wanting a little bit. And yet you look at the stat page, Buffs with 569 yards of offense, 212 on the ground, 357 passing. They were, 50% or thereabouts in third down. Hold the opposition under 300 yards. Hold the opposition 1 of 14 on third downs. The stat page looks dominating. It left some wanting, as I mentioned. What do you take away from that game?
What I take away from that game is they took care of business. I mean, the first three games of this year, they were supposed to win. They were supposed to beat Colorado State. They were supposed to beat Texas State. They were supposed to beat Northern Colorado. They went out there and took care of business. I think they improved every week. I think they, you know, the offense got more consistent, moved the ball a little bit better every week. I like the way Steven Montes, especially over the last six quarters, played. Thought the defense played well, had a couple of big mistakes last week, but nothing that they can't fix. And so I think Colorado took care of business, and while Mike McIntyre will never say it, and none of the players will never, they will never say they were looking ahead to Washington, you know that going clear back in August, this was a game that they were kind of pointing toward. This is a game that they will tell you they've been ready to, they have some unfinished business that they remember last year, and this is a game that they've been looking forward to, and I think you'll see a very good accounting of the Colorado Buffaloes on Saturday.
You know, Gary Barnett made a comment late in the broadcast against Northern Colorado. He said, you know, the bottom line is it's hard to win in college football. And you look back, I mean, you know, Liberty beat Baylor early this year. UCLA gets beat, albeit by Memphis on the road. Stanford gets beat this past weekend. Nebraska gets beat in Lincoln by Northern Illinois. And so I think sometimes, you know, it's not 1975 college football where the big boys are always going to beat the little guys. It's a different time and place.
Yeah, no, I think, and Gary's exactly right. It's hard to win week to week to week to week in college football. Take a look at last week. Texas A&M was behind Louisiana Lafayette at the half. There are just so many, you know, variables in the game, and I think if you can emerge from that non-conference schedule 3-0, I don't care who you've played, if you can emerge undefeated, head into your conference schedule with some momentum, having played well in stretches at least, I think you've got to feel pretty good about this team. And you know, Mike McIntyre said it yesterday. There was a time in this program not too long ago that if they'd have been 3-0, it doesn't matter who they would have played. If Colorado would have started 3-0, they'd have been throwing parades on Pearl Street. Yeah. And now people, the expectations have changed, and Mike likes that. Mike said, you know, he's glad the expectations have changed. That means that he's put a foundation down. So we'll see where this program – I think Saturday night gives us a good barometer of where we are right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the blessing and curse of having success, I guess. Are you buying stock in this defense? And I asked that question based on this. I think the numbers are very good, obviously. We hadn't seen really any breakdowns the first couple of games. We maybe saw a couple fixable issues, obviously. But are you buying stock in this defense?
I am. I like this defense a lot. The more and more that I see it, I like the playmakers that they have. And you and I have talked about that a lot already this year. But I like the playmakers they have. I like Drew Lewis at linebacker. I like Evan Worthington in the secondary. I like Leo Jackson up front. You know, I like Derek McCartney. I like a lot of the guys that are making plays, getting around the field, doing, making difference-making plays. And I haven't even mentioned Isaiah Oliver, who's a pretty good cornerback. So I like this defense. Great test coming up this weekend, obviously. Washington has a terrific running game. We talk a lot about their quarterback and their receivers, Pettis and Browning and guys like that. But Washington's running game is going to be by far the biggest test this team has seen. But I like this defense. I still think as the season progresses, it's going to continue to get better. This is not the end-all game. They play UCLA a week after this, and then they play Arizona, who put up 63 last week. So I think this defense is going to be continue to be tested in the Pac-12. But, yeah, I like this defense.
As we break this game down between the Buffs and the Huskies, there are a number of areas that, you know, we'll talk about. Dante Pettis and special teams and those kinds of things. Obviously, the Buffs couldn't move the ball very effectively against Washington's defense a year ago. That, to me, that defensive front versus – that running game that Washington throws out there, to me, might be one of the indicators in this game.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, even Mike McIntyre said it in his press conference earlier this week. He said, by the second half, they just ran it down our throats. And that's what they did. They just ran it down Colorado's throat. They had Miles Gaskin, LaVon Coleman, you know, it was thunder and lightning, a smaller back who can really move in the hole, and then a big back who's just a punishing guy. And they came at Colorado, and they ran it right down into the heart of the Colorado defense, which nobody had done. And I think that surprised Colorado a little bit. I think they'll be ready for it this week. Mike McIntyre said, looking at the film, it was, you know, they weren't playing their run fits like they should have been. He said he thinks they can fix that type of thing. But I think you're right. If Colorado comes out, stops that running game, or at least controls it, then I think they have a chance to be in this game.
Did it surprise you at all? And it seemed to be a consistent message, I think, from all the guys I've talked to, the guys I've heard other reporters talk to this week, that it seemed like to a man, every guy that played in that game looked back at it last year and said, we got out physicaled in that game. Because we hadn't seen that from the Buffs all year long.
No, and I think that surprised them, too. I think Colorado's the first time all year. They'd played a good Stanford team. They'd played a very good Michigan team. They had seen some good teams, and they hadn't been out-physical like that. Michigan did not out-physical Colorado. Michigan beat them with some special teams plays, a couple of deep balls, some things like that, but did not out-physical Colorado. Stanford certainly didn't out-physical. I'm not sure they thought anybody could do that. Washington walked into Levi's Stadium and did exactly that. And so that surprised them a little bit. I think that was a driving force in their offseason, weight conditioning programs. I think they knew that they look at that film and they saw that they got beat up. And so I think that's something that's been in the back of their minds throughout the whole offseason, that happened to them. And I think they're anxious to prove that it's not going to happen again.
One thing I want to do here on The Insider is open it up, because I've had a number of folks stop me and say, hey, I'd like to throw a question at you guys during The Insider. You can drop me a question on Twitter, at MJBuffsVoice. I'll let Neil give his Twitter account, but we can open it up, and if you guys got some questions week by week, we can do that. So go ahead.
Yeah, at Neil Welk, NEILLWOELK, pretty simple, at Neil Welk at Twitter. So, just shoot us some questions. We'd love to answer them.
I had to have him do that because nobody can really spell his name. So you'll have to look that one up, by the way. It always can. Johnson's easy, but Welk, you can't get to that. Hey, flip it around to the offensive side of the ball. Have you seen the progress offensively? I thought week by week, and you expect teams to get better as the season goes on. I think we've seen some growing up by Steven Montez a little bit last year when he came in and wowed us a few times. We didn't know what we didn't know about him. He was kind of surprising teams that he played against. It was a new, very talented guy. But he didn't have to necessarily play quarterback, if you will. He was just an athlete coming in and throwing the ball around a little bit. Watching him now this week by week, come out there and have to adjust, I've been impressed by how he's done it so far. Now, this is going to be a big test on Saturday. But don't you think we've seen him make strides and mature a little bit in terms of his game?
Exactly. I think he's become more of a quarterback here. He's standing in the pocket. He's looking. He's making his reads downfield. He's looking at more than one receiver. He's finding the open guy, and he's standing up in the pocket and making his throws like he should, like a quarterback should. He's not popping out of the pocket so quickly. And that's been a big development, especially, I think, against UNC. You saw where they got some pressure on the outside, but he didn't pop out of the – he didn't hit the escape button and eject really quickly. He stood in there in traffic and made some throws, and that was a big development for Steven. I think this game this weekend, the one thing that I still want to see that we haven't seen consistently, I want to see him pop Philip Lindsay loose. They have to run the ball on these guys. Yeah. They have to get out there, and they have to establish a running game, get Philip Lindsay moving, make Washington respect that run game, and not be able to play six guys in the secondary on Colorado consistently, not be able to drop six back into coverage.
Well, along with that then, last week there was shuffling that was done up front. It was good to see Jeremy Irwin back out there. I think that's obviously a plus for the Buffaloes. You had Tim Lenathan playing at center, and Hengler and Kaiser on the right side. Coe was on the left side. What's kind of the reviews of what we saw last week from the shuffling they did up front?
I think they liked what they saw from Aaron Hagler at guard. He's a bigger guy. He's a little faster. He can move out, and they liked what they saw him, maybe a little bit better than what they saw from him at tackle. Josh Kaiser played all right at the right tackle. Timmy Lynott played okay at center. We still don't know, and this honestly, I don't know who they're going to be starting at center. I've been watching practice all week, and they've been, they've been moving guys around on that line still trying to find that the best five that they can put out there. And so it will be interesting to see who they throw out there on Saturday night. But I do think that line is making some progress. I like what Jeremy Irwin brings to the table with that. And I also like, they brought George Frazier back last week. He was back from his two-game suspension. When he brings in that 11 personnel and they bring in that tight end, he adds more to that running game. He's a big, powerful blocker. Philip Lindsay loves him, and I think we saw that package early in the game against UNC, and then it kind of went away. But I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, and I like what George brings to that also.
Not often in college football do you have a game where one guy can entirely change the landscape of a game, right? The linebacker safety from Michigan last week, last year, his name's escaping me right now. He was one of those guys. Peppers, thank you. Dante Pettis is one of those guys. Not only what he does as a return guy, which has been phenomenal, three returns and three games for touchdowns. He's got eight in his career. But he's become a dynamic receiver as well. that might be an interesting matchup in this ballgame on Saturday.
They have to know where Dante Pettis is on the field at all times. I mean, he's a guy, he's their leading receiver. Last year they had John Ross, first-round draft choice, is no longer there. Pettis has stepped into that role as their number one guy. He is Jake Browning's favorite guy. He's the escape guy. He's the guy that they look for downfield. He's fast enough to get up on top of that secondary, get behind him, and throw deep. He runs great routes across the middle. He catches the ball really well. He's just a guy that makes a lot of plays for him. I think he had 3 touchdown receptions last weekend against Fresno. So he's a guy they have to know where he is. They have to be ready for him. I know Isaiah Oliver is excited about the chance to cover him and to play against him. And so I think that's one of those matchups within the matchup that will be very interesting to watch.
You know, Mike has talked about really cinching up the coverage teams, especially dealing with a guy like that. More importantly than that, boy, Alex Kinney's got to be on his game on Saturday, doesn't he?
This is a big one for Alex. And I love Alex because he's just so calm, cool, and collected. You know, doesn't matter what he's doing, he's gonna kick the same. And I think this is a nice test for Alex because he's been up and down the last couple of years. So far this year, he's kicked really well. He has put, I think, 6 or 7 down inside the 20. He hasn't had a bad kick. He's been very consistent. This is a good test for him. I asked him today, I said, so what's your game plan? He said, kick it high and kick it far. And that's pretty much what Alex is. That's all he's, you know, and I do know that they've worked on their punt team. They've got some, not going to give a lot away, but they've got some gunners in there that they think are going to be able to get down and get in coverage in a big hurry on Pettis. If Alex can get it up high, they'll have the athletes to get down there and be greet Mr. Pettis when he catches the ball.
Well, it's funny, and I did. We're going to talk with him in the pregame for the broadcast on Saturday as well, and he made the exact same comment. And his explanation was, if I kick it high and we have great hang time, that way Dante Pettis doesn't have time to return the ball. He's got to make a fair catch, and then I do my job, and we don't have to deal with him as a weapon then.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. If he can get good hang time on that ball, they'll have speed, they'll have their gunners to get down there and be waiting for Mr. Pettis to catch that ball, and that's the whole plan right there. I mean, it's not rocket surgery here, Mark.
Or brain science, whatever it's going to be. Hey, circle back around a little bit to kind of the magnitude of this game, and you said something, you kind of referred to it earlier. This isn't a make-or-break game. I think it's a good litmus test on Saturday night, but let's, I think there's a little bit of a tendency for people when they look at this to put all the eggs in one basket here and say, well, this, if they don't win this one. And I don't quite see it that way.
No, I don't either. People ask me how good this team is, and I say, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think we'll have an idea after Saturday night, how good they are. Right now, I think they can be a very good team, but this is a team that's got 9 Pac-12 games to play. And right now, there's one team in that conference that has not played well at some point. Oregon State has not played really well. Otherwise, there are 11 teams that are pretty good football teams. Colorado plays 9 of them. And so, you know, I think this is, like you said, it's a good litmus test. We'll have an idea Sunday morning about, you know, how good they are. But they got UCLA the week after. Then it's Arizona. And then Cal. And so you're going to see a lot of good teams. If you're going to ask me how good this team is, I'll tell you in November. You know, and I hate to say that, but that's just the way college football is. It's hard to win every week.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was a cop-out by Neil Welk. And that response right there. Hey, by the way, our coverage on Saturday, remember, it's a late game. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. The Buffs and the Huskies, our coverage gets underway at 6 with the Buffalo Stampede. Gary Barnett, Andy Lindahl, and yours truly will have the kickoff on the Colorado Football Network at 8 o'clock. Hey, touching on a couple of other quick things here in the athletic department. Great weekend for the volleyball team, going 3-0 last week, beating Colorado State. Jesse Mahoney's team playing some pretty good volleyball right now.
Hey, I tell you what, do not underestimate how big that is to go to Moby Arena and win up there. That's a big win. Jesse Mahoney was 51-0 against teams from Colorado at Moby Arena. He had never lost to a Colorado team in Moby Arena till last week. Colorado went up there, beat the number 22 team in the nation. That's a perennial NCAA tournament program up there. Very big win for Jesse Mahoney's team. Really like what they're doing. They're ranked in the top 25. Soccer team with a big win over DU, scored 6 goals. They're getting votes. Right now, Colorado's football team is getting votes for the top 25. The volleyball team is in the top 25. The cross-country teams are in the top five in the nation. Of course they are. This is Mark Wetmore. I mean, we don't expect anything different. And the soccer team is getting votes for the top 25. So it's been a very good fall for Colorado. And there's a lot of fun games going on this weekend in Boulder.
Yep. And by the way, the basketball team announced it's a full slate of schedule, times, television, all those kind of things. And Tad Bull's got himself a challenging task there. And by the way, we still don't know if they're going to make it in the Paradise Jam or not. We're waiting on the Mother Nature. I guess dictate that, I guess, with what's going on with Hurricane Maria is coming through after Irma.
Hit the Virgin Islands again this week, so that's looking a little dicey right now. And I don't know what Plan B is going to be if they can't go down there and play. But I know Tad really would like to go down there and get those games played. If they can't, then I'm sure they'll scramble and try and fill out their schedule in some other way.
Yep. Good looking schedule though. Buffs have got a road trip to Colorado State, on to Xavier. They've got to play Iowa in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I know it doesn't make sense, but they played Iowa State there a few years ago as well. And then, of course, a very challenging Pac-12. They open up once again. I don't know what's going on with the Pac-12. 3 years in a row, Buffs have opened up on the road, so we get to spend New Year's Eve in lovely Eugene, Oregon.
At least you won't be at a game on New Year's Day when all the football games are going on. You know, you'll at least be able to be somewhere where there's a television and watch those games. But that the Pac-12 schedule is always an interesting ordeal, and it seems like Colorado and Utah, the two schools that are in the Mountain Time Zone, kind of get a little bit of a short shrift with that, because we have to play the 9 o'clock games, and we get a lot of those things. But that's just part of the conference, and I think Tad will make the best of it, and hopefully they'll get some fans to watch them this year.
Yeah, speaking of a late game, by the way, the UCLA time has come out, if you haven't heard it at this point. It's a road game at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Thank you very much. For Neil Welk, I'm Mark Johnson. We'll talk to you on the Colorado Football Network on Saturday night. It's the Buffs and the Huskies. Again, our pregame gets underway at 6, the kickoff at 8 on the Colorado Football Network as we put a wrap on Buffs Insider this week.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.